Warning, the following program contains open expression that some may find offensive. Language is used freely under the direct authority of the Constitution of the United States of America.
This podcast is a member of the Detroit Podcasters Network.
Detroit Podcasters Network.
Coming at you from I-94 and I-75. Representing the ongoing struggle to realize the renaissance in Detroit, you have found the Ola. Allow me to introduce the big baby P.
I need a drink.
The front woman of the pills, Miss Danny Catastrophe.
What up, bitches?
The engineer, D. Sway. And for me, myself, and the all-seeing eye, Magnanimous. And now, Oled Ezra.
What's up, internet, in the beautiful Yeparoke city of Detroit, Michigan? You are listening to the 76th installment of the Olin Ezra Show, Detroit's underground talk revolution. This week, man, we've got a big, big show today. I heard we got some hush rumblings about JRB. What's up with JRB?
Yes, JRB, a.k.a. Johnny Roast Beef, a.k.a. good friends of the Olin Ezra Show, have their CD release party, which is going to be at the Ritz in Warren, and that's next Saturday, February 6th. And it's going to be an 18 and up show, $5 at the door. You should definitely come check these guys out.
We also have Motown Rage in the studio with us. We were taking a whiff of some of that nice Detroit air before the show with them, so that's going to be cool to
have
them in
here. They brought some Detroit air with
them?
Phenomenal.
Some good stuff, but yeah, they've been doing a lot of stuff with ICP more recently. They've also been in a ton of cities, so we'll talk to Ray and I think Steve. They're going to come in the booth for a minute, listen to a couple of their tracks. Also, we got a ton of stuff coming up. We got that show March 5th at the Rack and Roll in Riverview. That's going to be featuring Motown Rage. So that's going to be one badass show. We're going to have performances by Origix and DC, Articulate, Pigpen on the ones and twos, a couple more acts on there. Danny's best friend, Pigpen.
My BFF.
As long as he's on the ones and the twos.
That's right. On the flyer, though, it says Pigpen on the Wheels of Steel. So look out for that. Yeah. Anyway, make sure to check us out, Facebook, MySpace, Twitter. Check us out online at theolinezrashow.com. And grow a ball sack, you bastards, and call the comment line, 313-254-4260. Did have a couple comments queued up for this week. Unfortunately, we were doing the April in the D thing again. We've decided to torture ourselves and go through the whole...
I know, man.
The whole April in the D thing. But apparently, Steve has churned out a song in a week.
And right. Well, I figured I could write a better song in 30 minutes than they picked last year.
It's April.
I kid.
April
I kid.
In the D.
No, man, and this is, like we talked about, this will be the last amount of any creativity they get from us, for sure.
I've been saying it for years. Fuck Wisconsin.
Ironically, you have been saying that. I never really got it, but no.
See?
You.
See?
Yeah, Mr. John Akira from Waterford came out to shoot April in the D video, so a shout out to him, and he's got some crazy ideas for this I look forward to. And he's out there chilling right now as we speak with one Mr. Donald Knottsberry.
Yeah, Don Knotts brought something too, man. Good times.
He brought the pain.
He did. But, he did bring the pain. No, what was painful was being out on that riverfront for...
Dude, we just came off of the riverfront down in Har Plaza. So, yeah.
Talking about Arctic, man. There's
ice flows. There's right. Freaking ice flows going out there.
In the river, like...
We spent a solid hour and a half. I haven't been able to feel my left pinky toe.
That's what I'm saying.
For...
Like, my biology is now defrosted.
All scrambled up. But anyway, without any further bullshit from us, Steve, hey, what's that in your hand?
Beer of the week.
About to open it. Here we go. Oh, no! Oh, fuck. I mean, damn it.
You just fucked up the rich, creamy head.
Yeah, no. What about the rich, creamy head?
I blew the rich, creamy head.
There's rich, creamy head all
Son
over the studio
bitch.
Now. God damn it.
Boddington's. Pub, it's leak. It's totally. This thing exploded right in my face. It's the creamy head exploded right in my fucking face.
So Steve has a mouthful and a face full of Boddington's rich, creamy head.
Yeah. So we're looking at Boddington's Pub Ale. By the way, these are in the yellow can. yellow pint can, black labeled, but they're imported from Britain. Thing about these are, it's like a little more of a smoothed out ale-ish Guinness. So I think they're actually better than Guinness. Guinness technically stands around like 4.2 to lower alcohol contents than some of them. This Boddington's turns out is about 4.7, but they go down so creamy and rich.
They are delicious.
I've never had a Boddington's.
They're very, very good.
Isn't that like $38 a six pack or something?
You're looking at about $8, $7 to $8 for a four pack.
A four pack of pints, though.
Yeah,
pints.
They're
four
big
pack
cans.
Of pints. Yeah, right. But, you know, more importantly, I went with Boddington's this week because they're also easier to find. They're going to have these at most stores, even not your upscale beer places, but you'll be able to find them. Come in a four-pack. Actually, it even says right on the front, smooth and creamy. Totally true. You can put these things down after about four of them, good buzz.
You like those smooth and creamy Boddington's, huh?
Yeah, I don't even know what you mean. It's not sexual. It's just beer.
Smooth.
Can you find Boddington's at Buscemi's?
Absolutely.
Buscemi's?
Buscemi's. Yeah, they're in there. But,
right on, Boddington's.
You're looking at, by the way, these actually being first brewed in 1778. So there seems to be a pattern of some of these brews we have for the beer of the week that go back to like friggin' 1700, you know?
Good times. Boddington's.
It's a lot of practice. That's what it is.
Right? Boddington's Pub Ale. Check that shit out.
All right. Hey, looking for cutting-edge interviews, innovative car casts, and more? Check out the country coworker, Mr. Les Zaldor at Z-A-L-D-O-R.
Zaldor!
All right.
He's creaming his jeans.
Wow. So, Steve, you got anything... what's the word? Esoteric on the agenda today?
Getting right into it then, huh?
Getting right into
getting
it.
Right into it. Let's talk, and feel free to jump in here and anywhere you want, but let's talk about the bankruptcy in America early 1930s. Okay. There was a point, and what they did was called in all the gold, right? They decided, we're gonna just call in gold. And everybody turned their gold in. That gold turned out to be what now world banks are based on, and they issued paper certificates, which have no value whatsoever, which is what we still use today. Now, when it comes to certification...
Legal tender.
Legal certification. This right here is called Capitis Diminutius. So, some birth and marriage certificates are now only considered warehouse receipts, printed on bank note paper, which may mark you and yours as property of banks that our government borrows from every day. Now, certificate is only a paper establishing ownership claims. By the way, if you're going to want to look into this, Barron's Dictionary of Banking Terms, used worldwide in every legal practice in every courtroom ever. Registration of birth began in 1915 by the Bureau of Census, while all states adopting the practice by 1933. So certificates. Look out for what's considered like, you know, look on your birth certificate and notice where things are in capital letters, establishes your social security number as well as your name as a corporate holding, traded in the market every day.
That's right. Hey, if you look at your driver's license, text on your driver's license is all uppercase.
Now, Speaking of the bankruptcy, since the U.S. went bankrupt in 1933, all new money has to be borrowed into existence. All states starting issued serial numbered certificate warehouse receipts for births and marriages in order to pledge us as collateral against those loans and municipal bonds taken out with the Federal Reserve banks. So full faith and credit of the American people is said to be that which backs the nation's debt, that backs our debt. Everybody born that received your Social Security number then is nothing but backing our national deficit.
That's right. So, it's kind of a bummer, man, when you think about it.
It's a bummer, but then again, like, I dig in to drop this shit to just kind of maybe jar people. I don't even want to say awake. I'm not here to wake anybody up, as I don't even know what the fuck exactly that means. But maybe to jar people into awareness. You know what I mean? You start looking around a little bit. You start recognizing shit and know that you have... more power, only we're raised in captivity. You're much more of a important, powerful being in this world than any goddamn corporation, but they flipped that shit on us, you know?
Yeah, that's it's part of the reason nobody can get out of debt right now. It's ridiculous.
Debt gives value, sure. Too. So, as
God
a child,
bastards, I can't even buy a pack of cigarettes.
Well, meet your straw man. As a child, you have had an imaginary friend. You may be surprised to learn that evidence exists that you have had a make-believe twin from the time your mother and father permitted a birth certificate to be filled for you. This make-believe friend is not real, but artificial. It is the straw man, an artificial entity that has a name very similar to yours. There's a definition. Straw man is a particular font, all cap, a third party, put up in name only to take part in a transaction. So, in layman's terms, what is a straw man? Straw man is an artificial person.
He stands in, like, a field of corn.
Frightening birds.
Yeah.
All pretty right. much. That's your artificial person. The straw man was created by law shortly after you were born via the registration of the application of your birth certificate. The name for the straw man is your name in all capital letters. You will notice that the inscription on the birth certificate is your name in all caps.
Which
Why?
It is on the driver's license and everything
Why?
Else.
Right.
They touch on this in ICE, what is it, an esoteric agenda. They touch on this.
Yeah. So we will conclude that man is a term of nature, but who created nature? Some would say a god. Others would say the creator, a term often used by the founder of our country, by the way, while others might hold a different view. On the other hand, we see person as a term of civil law. So who's the creator of civil law? It's a rhetorical question. I don't think there is an answer.
I was waiting for the waiting for the riveting answer, and I never got it.
I think there is one. So fiction of law. Just look out for what we've mentioned, legal fiction and fiction of law, and that's what this kind of comes up to. I mean, welcome to your system. In fact, welcome to systems that are obviously proven broken nowadays. And, you know, people say, but I need health care. I need a job. No, think about it. When you boil it down, we need food, right? Think of the things you just basically will need.
You need food. You need a place to shit. You need a place to rub one out.
Right.
And that's...
Which brings us right back to what we've been harping on with the whole Detroit issue and urban farming.
And I love the amount of urban farming that's been going on around here.
So once again...
Not only with food products, but with the other, you know, medicinal products that Detroit is good at cultivating.
I think more and more you're going to see... awareness to a level in people where they just no longer want to play the game. You know what I mean? Like, birth is a given, right? Like, if you're born, you have no choice, but you are in life.
You're kind of stuck.
It's death that is so, like, mystified us to a point of creating systems. Systemic anomalies. So I just want to leave that out there, and I'll end it with that.
So in other words, what you're telling me is my name on my driver's license is not really me, but my corporate entity.
You're a corporate avatar.
Okay, so now does my corporate avatar actually have more money than me, or is it just some sort of sick joke?
It's just some sort of sick holding on a debt. So here we are as taxpayers transferring our wealth once again right up the damn chain.
Thinking of all my goddamn debt. God damn it.
Well, hey, one day, via somebody taking out fucking credit card buildings like in Fight Club, guess what? That really won't help either.
Yeah.
Because it's now in a worldwide system.
It's a bummer, unfortunately. Pat, we haven't seen you in a long time.
Pat's here?
I miss you.
Yeah, I'm here.
What do you got this week, buddy?
I don't have anything. I'm only here because I told you I would be.
Something about Penthouse in front of you.
That's the Metro Times.
Oh.
It's the Super Bowl party.
Don't worry, man, because last week when Nate was here, he was sitting there playing like skee ball on his iPhone. So
he wasn't drinking Smirnoff Highberry, but he.
I wish I was drinking. I wish I was drinking some.
That was my whole plot for even having the beer of the week. It's a veiled.
It's just an
just
excuse
having a drink.
To, yeah,
I know.
Get
but
drink.
It's an awesome excuse.
Mm.
Hey, Midwest.
Boddington's.
Midwest hip hop connoisseurs unite. Check out the Zone Radio Monday nights from 9 p.m. through midnight on 89.3 FM WHFR or worldwide at WHFR.com. Give a shout out to Origix and DC.
Deep sleep.
Hey, what deep. Do you
Sorry.
They're going to be rocking the show with Motown Rage, man,
oh,
on
shit.
March 5th, man. It's going to be good times.
Where at?
The Rack and Roll.
I like the Rack and Roll, dude.
I love that place, man.
First,
it sounds great.
Our first hip-hop show at the Rack and Roll, huh?
Yeah, but it, I mean, it's going to be sort of, I mean, we got, what?
You don't sound too sure.
Well, it's not fully hip-hop.
It's not.
Because
they're not entirely.
Spit it out.
Because they're not entirely CD shows.
Right. Well, I mean, Motown Rage, they've got the band. They're doing their thing. Origix in
Look,
D.C.,
fuck
they're going to have
a live Spit it out. It's
going
to be awesome.
It is going to be awesome.
That's all you got to say. It's going to be awesome.
It's going to be on a metal-y hip-hop tip.
Motown Rage is
hip hop with some metal.
Motown Rage is not going to show up like, here's the show disc, dog.
I don't, we'll have to ask them when they come in here, but hopefully they don't. When I saw them at Hollow Wicked this year, or last October, they didn't have a show disc then unless it's all a big sham. We'll have to ask them. But yeah, speaking of Motown Rage, let's get them into the booth and we're going to bring them into the track. Welcome to the Slaughterhouse.
Here's Motown Rage, Dope Doubler, Awesome Dre, doing this right here for the hatchet, killing all you weak-ass faggots. Roll through the back streets, creep through rallies, like a devil's retaking one of the Manson family. Massacre without reason, leaving trails of bodies. That thought can be described in one word, ungodly. Might bust the shoddy, like to slit some necks. Don't you know the sight of blood, it makes my dick erect. You better hit the deck if you see me rolling by, because you know I bring more pyro than the 4th of July. And they ain't in the sky, in fact they floating at you. Different sounds, bunch of colors like a Roman candle. Way too much to handle, nigga, quick to spaz. Fuck with me, I'll do you like a 40 twist, you cap. It's fact, I'm batshit crazy, not an actor. Sick enough to lick the fucking pussy of a crack whore. Laugh now, you better call the feds and tell them bring a straight jacket, cause I'm off my meds. Welcome to the slaughterhouse, killing it without a doubt. Running shit with no exception, this right here is 187. Welcome to the slaughterhouse, killing it without a doubt. Murder shit with no exception, this right here is 187. Sadistic bitch and I'm known to rip it. You can call me whorecore because I flip it. Wig and wig splitting is my motherfucking claim to fame. People gunning for me, you would think my name's Hussein, but not me, I ain't hiding in a hole in the ground. And in a place of fucking glory, only way I'm going down. I doubt that you ever met someone quite like me. Long head, light skin, look like the sun device. You with a twisted psyche, straight mind of a lunatic. You can check my records if you need any proof of it. I thought I told you, man, I'm scandalous. I'd like to jack off at the murder scenes and slash the flicks. That's a half of it, others pain is my pleasure. The evil that's between my ears you can't measure. Bet you can't stop me, don't even bother. Unless you burn me at the stake or soak me in holy water. Welcome to the slaughterhouse, killing it without a doubt. Murder shit with no exception, this right here is 187. Welcome to the slaughterhouse, killing it without a doubt. Murder shit with no exception, this right here is 187.
Hardcore, straight through the door, get what you came for. Plus more, fuck your mind up, I'll leave your brain sore. Got more pain in store than when the rain pour. Try to play Trey like a whore, get your frame tore right off the rip. Why would you trip? Bitch, when I'm fighting, I'm Mike Tyson, I might bite off your lip. I'm fighting dirty to the death, till there's no breath left. I told these stupid motherfuckers they should watch themselves, watch their step. Bitch, keep quiet as kept, or you're fine with a pump for the riot is kept. You don't wanna see me go off in a Motown rage. I get live like I dived off the front of a stage. I leave your skull caved in like from that of a gate. Stone kill like a gorilla that's been left in the cage. What the fuck you talking about? Lean, snap, walk it out. We ain't about to go that route. Welcome to the slaughterhouse.
Welcome to the slaughterhouse, killing it without a doubt. Murder shit with no exception, this right here is 187. Welcome to the slaughterhouse, killing it without a doubt. Murder shit with no exception, this right here is 187.
I'm Dough Double and I get high off of killing. Got bodies in my house stacked up to the ceiling. Stay drunk, so I don't give a fuck how you feeling. Grab a gun out the trunk, come and ride with a villain. I'm feeling like Run, I'm a DMC. Go insane when I'm clowning like ICP. Only true juggalos get to roll with me. Picking tails from the hood like Crazy K. Rocking out with my cock out like Razor Ray. We killing motherfuckers, don't get it twisted. Nick, I ain't psychopathic, just ass sadistic. Mag to your head, to your cranium broke. Even Shags had to say, damn, that's too dope. We punkin' motherfuckers like Ashton Kutcher. Bullets drum into your head like Sam the Butcher. Fuck what you talking about, welcome to the slaughterhouse.
Welcome to the slaughterhouse, killing it without a doubt. Murder shit with no exception, this right here is 187. Welcome to the slaughterhouse, killing it without a doubt. Murder shit with no exception, this right here is 187.
We'll be right back. Rage in the house.
Yeah, Motown Rage. Good stuff.
Hey, you guys really rock.
Hey, that's a lot. We try.
You know, that's. I think we need more wicked rock anyway, as it is. For some reason, there seems to be some sheen of this American Idol pop bullshit just reaching all over the goddamn world right now, and I'm not having it.
You don't like Justin? Little Justin Bieber?
Oh, Bieber. Fuck! Oh, I hate that kid!
I hate him more.
You don't like him?
His the very sight of him just sends rage to my body.
He's just a little kid with a dream.
A dream and a ton of vocal programming behind him to make sure he sings well.
He knows how to use that auto-tune.
Hey,
did you hear that shit?
Oh.
Hey, there's plenty of studios around here that are willing to offer, you know, their auto-tune.
Dude, there's a fucking app. There's an app like a... who is it? The application that makes you fucking, you could speak into the phone and it dials you back
for
as
the
auto-tune.
iPhone?
Oh. Yeah, it's like TI Auto-Tune or some shit like that.
Great.
For your iPhone. Right.
Great.
So, hey, anybody can fucking sing nowadays and play music.
I would have to go run out and get one
yeah.
after the show. So yeah, Motown Rage.
Yeah.
I don't think I heard any auto-tune, so...
It's very slight.
That was off the CD.
Well, if you don't abuse it, yeah.
Right, you know, just a little bit. Just keep it in tune.
No. That was off the CD with us or against us. I like that.
2009?
Nice reverb. Yeah, 2009.
Yes. Yep,
off of Hatchet House. Now, where'd you guys record that?
We recorded that over at Cloud City Studios in... Redford, Michigan.
Yeah, Cloud City's popped up.
Yeah, our boy Nick Morris, amazing producer, engineer, and his band As They Sleep, they're fucking amazing, you know, Detroit hardcore metal, you know, and went in the studio and spent about a year going crazy.
Well, it wasn't a year of recording. It was that he had about 18 bands he was doing at the same time. So the actual time that it took us to record, probably about 2 weeks. 3 weeks. Oh. You know, it was just, you know, you could get in here and you could get in there.
That's fucked up.
Oh, God.
It's taking me
the hype, man. You
it's
know,
taking
just show
weeks
up.
To just do two songs.
Just, you know, we would show up. We'd fucking, you'd be like, oh, finally there. And we're like, yeah, sweet, you know, and, get in the studio, and he's like, all right, you guys ready? I'm like, yeah, man, let's hit it. Welcome to the slaughterhouse! All right, man, that's cool, man. Why don't you guys come next week, and we'll get the rest of the show.
What?
Wasn't that extreme, but that's how it felt sometimes.
Got another band coming in here in a half an hour, fellas. So,
so you did this piece by piece, then?
Yeah, we put this shit together. It was definitely...
Johnny Cash style,
it
very
just
nice. We thought it was we were gonna try to be the next Guns N' Roses fucking Chinese Democracy. Yep.
Well, at least it sounds really good.
Thanks.
It sounds fucking great.
Sounds great.
Yeah, good recording.
Thank you.
Now,
did you guys
to get Awesome Dre and did you track that separate or did you have him come in to the studio?
No, he came right in.
Each and every time.
Came in, wrote his verse on the spot.
Did his four bars and came back the next week, do another four bars.
Nope.
See, that's professionality you just don't see too much.
No.
That's right.
That's awesome.
That's fucking
phenomenal.
It was awesome to see, too. You know, him and his cousin, Bolt, Doe Doubler, you know, he's getting his name out there, banging out in the Detroit scene on the hip-hop flavor. You know, we got to hang out with those guys on the Gathering of the Juggalos, 2007?
Yeah.
You know, we were just fucking kicking it backstage, hanging out. And just freestyling shit up, you know. I had my guitar and little beatbox thing going. So we were doing shit like that, and we're like, dude, we got to fucking, at some point, we need to fucking do a track.
And
he
was down, huh?
Yeah.
This is something we kind of touched on earlier, but, you know, there's kids that have no history of hip-hop in Detroit, but, like, Eminem.
Right.
Maybe early Kid Rock. And, you know, even before fucking ICP did Dog Beats, like we mentioned, Chaos and Maestro all day.
Right.
Awesome Dre and a Hardcore Committee.
Those guys, the originators for the Detroit hip-hop.
One of my personal favorites, though, was Dice. The 40 Made Me Do It as a classic. Detroit album. I'm telling you, if you go on YouTube or whatever, you download stuff and look up The 40 Made Me Do It, it's fucking awesome record. Straight up.
That's Dice?
Yep. Dice before he signed with, because Dice did come out on Real Life Productions.
That was it with Real.
But this was long before that.
Now Real Life, Isham's like Homie Don't Play That was all considered real life, right? Mm-hmm. Like the original.
Yep. Yep. Puss ain't got no face.
Yep. No face.
Stick it in a pee hole.
Booming words, all that.
Gotta love that shit.
But, yep. Oh, yeah. But I mean, look what it leads to. Creativity still taking place today and what we're doing. So I'm gonna be about it.
But yeah, it's definitely cool. You know, Awesome Dre fucking back on the scene and shit, you know, and he's
good,
you know,
man.
It's fucking cool to fucking have him come in the studio. And, you know, and it, what was cool about it wasn't like, you know, we paid him a fucking bunt, you know, a shitload of money or anything like that. It was like, hey, man, come over and lay down some guitar tracks, do some vocal shit.
How'd you guys all get together?
Man, we've been jamming out. Goddamn, since the 80s.
Oh, you're dating yourself.
But we were kids.
What are these 80s?
We were like 2-3 years old, you know, with guitars and diapers.
Watching He-Man.
Well, Ray and Steve used to be in a group called Harm's Way, who had, you know, had a pretty decent following around here, you know, and they were doing a little bit similar to what we're doing, I'd say, for that time. And went through some member changes, and when I came in, it was kind of like, well, it's not really fair to people who like Harm's Way to say that we're Harm's Way.
And I saw in the little fact sheet that you guys gave us that the part of a Harm's Way song was in a Pantera video or a Pantera song?
Yes. What?
What's that all about?
Well, we were definitely cool friends with Pantera, and they were actually, you know, Harm's Way fans. They even invited us to do a couple of shows. What tour
Trendkill?
Was that?
Was that
the Trendkill fucking tour with Cold Chamber and Machine Head? No, it wasn't Harpo's that we played. It was fucking the Toledo Toledo Sports Arena.
You guys played out there, huh?
Yeah, and then they were like, after that show, like they were like this in total Texan accent, like, dude, man, if you guys ever want to fucking do a show again with us, man, you guys are going to come on out to fucking Cincinnati tomorrow night. We'll give you $100 for gas.
What?
And we're like, fuck yeah, dude. So we did that. You know, we did both them shows.
Dope. Wow. You
know? Sweet.
That was the shit. You know, one thing to note is that, you know, we hung out with them a couple nights before when they played in Detroit, you know, at the Palace.
Right.
You know, and we get backstage and we're hanging out, you know, and there's Dimebag, and he's like, Dimebag, rest in peace, brother. You know, there's him. He's like, Harm's Ray. It's like, where the fuck were you guys, man? We wanted you guys to open up for us here at the Palace tonight. We're like, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, damn, dude.
Man. You ever figure out what the fuck happened?
Yeah, well, what happened that night with them not getting in touch?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were like, man, we tried calling you. I'm like, man, you guys probably, you know, didn't have the right number or something, man, because we would have fucking answered
heartbeat. Just to even have been on Dimebag's radar would be pretty cool.
Dude, I'll tell you, man, Dimebag, you know, was a brother to me, man. And, you know, we had the cool opportunity of not only doing shows with Pantera, but later on in Damage Plan, you know, we'd get calls at like 3 o'clock in the morning. He's like, hey, man, it's Dimebag here, man.
What?
Bring your fucking guitars and amps and shit and get ready to fucking rock out at Harpo's, man. We're fucking doing the Headbangers Ball Tour. You guys are on the fucking bill. It's going to be us, Drowning Pool, Hatebreed, Unearthed. Get your shit there.
So that had to be awesome.
Wow. Oh, dude, and then we'd show up and we're fucking hanging out. And of course, you know, Ernie at Harpo's, who's a fucking dick. You know, he's just like, he's just looking at us like, hey, what the fuck you guys doing here? I'm like, we're fucking opening up. Like, no, you're not. Y'all didn't sell no tickets.
Oh, my God. Don't even get me started.
The goddamn tickets.
They treat the locals.
And I was just like, well, talk to Dimes. You know, I'm like, they're the ones that fucking called us and told us to fucking be here. And they were like, he's like, all right, you know, and fucking Dimebag and Vinny both go upstairs and they school him and he comes back down and then, you know, there's Ernie's like, get your shit on stage.
Nice!
Harpo's is notorious for having like 18 opening bands that play for seven minutes each.
That's,
and they have to sell 100 tickets.
They everybody.
Fucked us so good. We, no grease reach around any of that.
Not even a little nibble on the fucking back of the neck.
I had sworn.
They didn't even spit, man.
Right.
They didn't take you out to dinner?
Bust a sweat to fucking create lubricant.
I had seen on the internet one night, I was looking and Harpo's had this advertisement that said that not the original lineup, but the well-known lineup of Anthrax was getting back together. They were doing 3 U.S. shows, and one of them was going to be at Harpo's, and they were going to pick 3 openers. And I was like, well, we should throw our name in the hat. just to see if we can get on. It'd be awesome to, you know, open for Anthrax. So I think Ray might have called or whatever, and boom, we were on the bill, and we're like, this is so fucking cool. We're playing with fucking Anthrax, this, that, and the other. And we get to the venue, and literally all you see is drum sets lined down the side of the fucking, like, as long as the building is, there's drum sets.
Line, fucking 20 drum sets.
And I'm like, and I'm like, that looks like more than three openers to me. And they open the doors right at 6 o'clock. And literally, we're on stage at 6:01 playing in front of like the bar lady and the dude that, and the dude that was sweeping the floor. And I'm just like, you know what? Fuck this place. Yes. I'll say
it. Dude sweeping was like, y'all rock.
No, he was just like, you guys suck.
I've seen some great shows, man, go through Harpo's, but that always seems the MO over there.
Could you imagine
opening local bands just get shit
with as big as that venue is? How shasty they have to get with it. Shady and shisty. Yeah. Shasty.
Yeah.
How fucking shasty they have to get with it to even keep that a business.
It was so ghetto too, because what they do a lot is if they have the million openers, how they usually do, they've got the main stage, which is sweet, you know, with the fucking walls, speakers on either side.
Then they have this
ghetto fucking little like
second stage.
Yeah.
Held up by like cinder blocks.
Yeah, pretty much.
I don't think we've been there since they put the second stage. No, I've heard about it, but I don't plan on going back there anytime soon.
Like green shag carpet on the stage.
Do they still have like the planets on the walls there?
Oh yeah.
You know, and I can't totally hate on Harpo's either.
I can.
Oh, I still go to see shows there.
You know, I mean, it's still the shit. You know, great memories. I mean, I used to win the hot buns contest.
What?
Yeah,
you would make more money than the band.
Yep.
What is this?
Like, it was Harpo's Thursday.
Let me
tell the story.
Dollar bill.
Like, dude, like, he would go there, man, after we get done playing, and he'd, like, bust into a G-string and come out to, like, Motley Crue's Girls.
Oh, my
God. Shut up, dude.
I might have seen you there.
1,500, 1,800 people. Yeah, like, I'm standing backstage with this bro from this other band smoking weed and shit, and like, dude, check this out.
Who's that chick on stage?
Check that out. He's like, what? I'm like, that motherfucker on stage in the G-string. And he looks up, man. This dude kind of, you know, he's got the Conan the Barbarian drunk look. And he, like, looks up, like, dude, that's one naked motherfucker.
I think I kind of remember.
He would make like $250 for doing that shit. And he wouldn't work all week. And like the band would play that night. We were supposed to get like $10, but they make you sign a contract before you play and shit. And you're supposed to turn it in afterwards. So like I would just put a zero on there and think I'm getting a fast one. Like, ah, man, I got $100 instead of 10, you know.
Were you, like, all serious when you dance? Like, seductive?
I was totally in front of the girls.
I kind of remember Ray at this. But, hey, first, nice ass, bro.
Thanks,
first,
bro.
But second off, they had the hot body contest, dollar pitcher night, Thursdays,
yep,
right?
Yep, Thursday night.
So the girls would start, yeah. But they always did play, like, Motley Crue in one form or another for the girls and guys.
We are the youth. Go! Plenty of Skid Row, too. That was his song.
That was like,
Give it up for Ramon.
Cash, fucking A, do it for $250.
It was the shit, you know. And then, you know, I did a couple of bachelorette parties. That was a lot of
fun. Got hired from Harpo's.
There was he was getting pimped by this chick who had a lockdown.
Oh shit!
Can you imagine the white trash bachelorette party that he was? The cake that he jumped out of.
He's like, what? like a giant.
You know what was my opening song? It was Devil Man, yeah.
It's more like a giant Hostess King Don or something. Yeah, right. I
was thinking like a cupcake or something.
Dude, he used to break out the baby oil and everything.
Oh, what? Yeah.
I'd break out the Kool-Aid and shit and just pour it down my fucking chest and there have some was, fucking chick lick on
at
it.
At some point in the early to mid-90s, like the New England Journal of Medicine came out with like the United States top five clubs to catch an STD in.
Harpo's had to be number one.
Oh, for sure.
And Blondie's was probably still on the list.
Don't
like
know that it
90s.
Was one, but it was like two. It was a top three. Wow. It was something like,
wow.
Like, how do you, and then they even went down to say that their carpeting contained bacterium that was living. Like, they actually tested their carpet.
You can feel it.
Found shit.
You walk on Harpo's and you can almost hear the little tiny voices.
You can hear the scabies squish when you step.
Oh my god!
Now you guys do a radio show now too, or
well, you
or
know
an
we're doing
thing?
The Razor's Edge Radio on WFuckOffRadio.com.
Oh no doubt, yeah. I see. Is that can
yeah,
started
that's
by
the
psychopathic
label podcasting station there
with what's the clown's name on there?
Upchuck's the shit.
Yeah,
I saw Upchuck at Hollow Wicked. I think got in a fight with a Juggalo, man. It was like, you don't know anything about anything. It was crazy.
Upchuck was challenging a Juggalo.
No, a Juggalo I think was challenging Upchuck.
Oh
yeah, people fuck with Upchuck a lot. You know, for some reason.
Yeah,
it's easy to kick a clown around. You know? Just take your problems out on a motherfucker. You know, like, what's a fucking clown gonna fucking do to you?
A clown.
He's a clown though that looks like just a regular clown.
Like he's a clown
though.
That
he's
would show
the
up
at the
making
kid,
balloon animals.
At, yeah,
just
exactly.
Kids
yeah.
Parties.
Yeah,
parties.
That was Upchuck the clown that I saw. Some juggalo was trying to kick his ass at Hollow Wicked. I thought
he's got that
funny
look like he fondles preteens.
It's more of a John Wayne Gacy kind.
Yeah,
of
exactly.
Oh, you know, that's terrifying.
Come here.
Yeah.
I need your ass.
Wow.
I can make balloon animals with no balloons.
I don't even know what that means, but that shit sounds creepy.
Oh, yeah.
Freak the fuck out.
Let me blow this balloon up your ass. Okay, all right, guys.
That would make anybody.
Do you like animals?
Hold on. Did you say anal moles? Yeah, because,
anal moles.
Oh, boy.
All right. Motown Rage.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is us.
Available for kids' parties.
You guys do bar mitzvahs, too?
Yeah, absolutely.
Whatever.
Mazel tov.
So were you Officer Desire, or, like, what was your... Did you have, like, a little...
Look, I had Ramon.
You're like the Latin lover.
Like Latin lover.
Before there was Razor Ray, there was Ramon.
Wasn't it like a Lou Diamond Phillips kind of Young Guns theme going on there?
Yeah, I would totally.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, actually, not just Lou Diamond Phillips, but, you know, in Young Guns, but also in La Bamba.
Richie.
Richie! I'd start out with
why,
that.
Why, Richie? You and the Big Bopper, why?
Right in front of my fucking cock.
Oh, for God's
it
sake.
It says La Bamba.
I'm picturing you with, like, your hair, like, down cascading and, like, just rubbing your chest with baby oil.
Wow,
and then...
daddy.
That is hilarious.
It's a lot of mental imagery.
That is eerie because I was just picturing you the same way, daddy. That's just eerie.
You know, it's been too long. It's been like 3 weeks without a sexual slur, and I've been feeling a little...
Need to catch up.
Yeah, when you're not here, there's nothing awkward going on.
I know.
Richie Valens.
Yeah, Richie Valens.
Died
with
Buddy Holly, too, didn't he?
And the Big Bopper.
Big Bopper.
Hello,
biggest
baby.
Biggest boppers, yeah.
Yeah, he was like the old geezer of the fucking club. He
like
was like
just a DJ
he was
that had a hit.
28 years old. Fucking old.
Did you used to come out and cover yourself in picante for the crowd?
I just used the guacamole.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Yep. Don't ruin guacamole for me, bro.
You know you're going to be at Super Bowl
parties. No,
well. Super Bowl parties. You're going to be like, fuck
la,
you, Razor Ray. Fuck
la,
you.
La, la, la,
my la, la, la bamba.
I was starting to sing La Bamba unconsciously.
Oh, shit.
Wow.
Son of a bitch.
Man, this interview has nothing to do with the band.
It's just funny shit you used
to. We brought out Ramon, yeah. Ramon had to come out today,
como,
apparently.
Como está?
Can you do the rest of the interview as Ramon?
Seguro que sí.
Ramon.
Only if I can speak Spanish the whole time. And my Spanish sucks. So
did Rico Suave, like, totally piss you off and that shit came
oh,
out?
Oh, dude. You know what? No, he got me late a few times.
What?
Oh, yeah. You know, because I'd be walking at a club and there'd be like, you know, some.
Played off the Rico.
MILF. Hey, Rico Suave! And that's just the sex call. Like, my fucking cock just raises right up. Like, just leads me.
Oh, Razor Ray. I get it. Makes sense now.
Oh, shit.
Oh, man. So, you guys got, other than this thing March 5th at the Rack and Roll, you guys got anything locally coming up in the future?
We have Peabody's in Cleveland on February 28th, and then the Rack and Roll on March 5th. And other than that, we're just looking to book some stuff around.
How often do you guys get out of state?
I was just going to ask him.
Oh,
We just went in November. We did. We were out by Philadelphia and Columbus and Chicago. You know, we did those all in like a week.
But that's how the expansion happens, right? Start surrounding the outer states and further and further.
Do you guys have anywhere in particular besides around here that you guys have a big concentration of fans?
Actually, we get a lot of emails and stuff from like the Albuquerque, New Mexico, and like kind of that little panhandle of there, and like Denver and Phoenix kind of area.
You know, every time. Every time. It's always the whole New Mexico area.
Right.
Yeah. Every time.
Juggalos are huge in Albuquerque. Yeah.
I got to go see a
big 80K fans out there, too, because there's a lot of still reservations that picked up on that stuff as like Hatchet Warrior. Or, I mean, you know, Native Funk shit.
Yep.
I totally didn't expect to see you guys working with this guy, but you guys did some stuff with David Allen Coe.
Oh, yeah.
I saw that, too.
That was an experience. And I'll tell you, this kind of goes full circle. We did, when I first started playing with these guys, the second show I ever did with them, when it was still Harm's Way, was Cleveland, we did with David Allen Coe. And I didn't know anything other than the stuff that I've heard, you know, like not music wise, just things I'd heard about David Allen Coe. I was like, man, I don't want to go down here and do this shit. You know, and everybody's like, oh, you're going to play with David Allen Coe. He's racist and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, great. So, you know, we get down there and I see this old dude that looks like a pimp come out of this tour bus, you know, and he's got on like this long coat and this fucking, you know, gray beard is all, you know, braided up and shit like that. He's all shiny and shit. I was like, who the fuck is that dude? You know, and they're like, oh, it's David Allen Coe. And I'm like, oh, shit, he don't look like some sort of fucking Klan member. You know what I mean? He looks like Huggy Bear from fucking Starsky and Hutch, you know? And so we're kind of hanging out. And next thing I know, the promoter took us out to dinner and we hung out with David Allen Coe and then hung out on his tour bus. And he was like super cool and was telling us all these crazy ass stories. Like, he's the guy that taught Charles Manson how to play the guitar in prison, like before Charles Manson was the infamous Charles Manson. You know, he was like, he was just faggot Charlie back then, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, and it's like his best friend is Leon Spinks and shit like that. You know what I mean? So it was really weird, but cool, like to sit on his bus and hear these stories. And
he kind of just dispelled the whole anything.
Well, his drummer was black.
When you went in there.
You know, so I was like,
he was black. He was blacker than you, black.
Yeah, he was black, you know.
He was like blue.
He was black.
And you know, and then he was even like, you know, it's crazy because I have this reputation of like being this racist and I even say it every single show, like I ain't into that shit, but yet still there's these people that come and think that like that's what I'm into.
Well, I mean, his song's all about, you know.
I think in any country setting, especially backwoods-ish, you know, like twangy McDoho.
Right.
You're probably going to get that, you know.
But, you know, the thing about it is we did that show at the Agora Theater, and I guess the kind of logic with the promoters having us open that show was that he had just come off the road with Kid Rock. So they were like, well, we'll put you guys on the bill because you guys are kind of like that, you know, with the rap and the metal and whatever. Well, the opening bands besides us, like these dudes had like sit down slide guitars,
straight up pedal steels and shit.
I'm like, they're gonna fucking hate us. You know what I mean? So David Allen Coe actually came and introduced us before we came out.
Absolutely.
And we went over. I'd say we went over really well. And there was one guy that was just standing there the whole time on the left side of the stage, was just like this. Like, fuck you. Fuck you. I hate you. Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you.
You want to get more information about Motown Rage, you can definitely go to our MySpace page, myspace.com/MotownRage.
Danny, you got a douchebag this week?
Who's the douchebag?
I do. Okay, so this lady, Emma Jame or Jamie, she is a 23-year-old woman in California, and
so we have a douchette.
A female douche today. The second one ever. I said.
All right, continue. Sorry, douche. Female douche
or douche baguette.
So this douchette. douchebaguette. She was arguing with her husband, who, coincidentally, his name was Ramon.
Ramon.
What?
Well, and if she's arguing with him, I could already understand why.
Well, you might not be able to, because, well, we'll get to that in a second. But they were arguing at their home on New Year's Day. They got into a fight that eventually escalated so bad that she stabbed him and killed him. When the police arrived, Ramon was still alive with a puncture wound in his heart.
Oh.
What were they arguing over, you ask? A taco.
Stepping on his
A taco.
Did she step on his Adidas?
Oh. That bitch.
Fucking that douchebaggot.
I mean, I could kind of see arguing over a taco.
Should
it be a British taco?
Maybe she was really hungry.
Was it her taco?
That's what I was going to say. I don't think it was her taco. I believe it was just a... Was it
hey, yo, your tacos seeming kind of fishy lately.
Fish tacos.
Wow.
Maybe they didn't get guacamole that she had ordered.
Maybe her taco had a lot of guacamole in it and he was pissed.
He's like, this taco sucks.
Why is there all this cream? Why is this all this green shit in my taco? All right.
So, yeah, I mean, that's basically it. It's not a very long story, but... I mean, who the fuck does it? There's two little kids. There are two small kids that were there. Now she's going to jail for 35 years. Well, speaking of fucked up people, and there's this girl named Sarah Rodriguez, but she goes by the name of Wolfie Blackheart. She claims to be a werewolf. This is a true story. This just happened like 2 weeks ago. And I can't remember where she lives. I want to say maybe it might have been San Antonio. But the police came to her house after the next-door neighbor, their dog had gone missing, and... Somehow this girl ended up being a suspect and killing it or taking it or whatever. When the police arrived, her room, the walls of her bedroom were smeared with a red liquid that her mom said was ketchup. They found a collection of swords and several animal heads, including a coyote, a ram, and a dog.
A ram.
Real animal heads that were mounted on her wall. They also found the dog in question, his head. She admitted to decapitating him, boiling it, and mounting it on her wall. So, a couple of things are wrong here. This girl is 23 years old.
A couple.
A lot of things are wrong. Everything is wrong with this story.
Does she, like, wear the animals apparently, while she pretends to
apparently
be a werewolf?
Apparently you got to boil animals.
Yeah, I don't know what the boiling is all about. But this girl lived with her mom. Her mom obviously knew what was going on. I mean, the girl's walls are covered with ketchup or whatever. And there's animal heads, various animal heads mounted on a wall. Why wasn't this girl turned in at some point? Why didn't her parents do anything? The number one, like, symptom or sign that a kid is, or a person in general, could possibly be a serial killer is torturing and killing animals.
You know, because to them parents, they're always going to be, like, their kid, you know? It's my
precious angel.
I didn't know she was smearing ketchup on her walls, boiling animal
heads. Anna, she loves animals.
Why she keeps them.
If you have a kid who wants to be called a Wolfie Blackheart and has a ram's head mounted on the wall, I don't know.
It does sound like a pretty wicked rap name, though. Yeah.
Wolfie Blackheart.
Maybe
she's a rapper trying to get some cred.
Wolfie Blackheart and this bitch.
Woof, woof.
So, that's it.
Wow. Wolfie Blackheart.
Speaking of wolf, did you guys see that wolf moon the other night?
Yes.
It was the biggest... fucking moon that you're going to see this year.
Friday night. Yeah, it was. Yep.
It was huge.
Yeah. As far as rotation goes on our calendar year, yeah, that's as close as it would have been. Does it kind of look like some shit's going on up there?
Yeah, I thought I saw a fucking a Taco Bell.
Think outside of the earth. Yeah. No, just sometimes I look at it, like, it almost looks like there was water and land at some point. You know, as if the earth would just should go cold and stale. You would see what was water and what was earth at some point. I don't know what's going on up there. Dark side of the moon theories.
Who knows, man? According to some people, there's like alien relay towers and soul catchers and all types of other types of shit on the dark side of the moon. I don't really think that there's a soul catcher, but
I like blue moons. The beer.
That's good. That's a good
blue
moon.
Moons.
Oh yeah. Hell yeah. So I guess we're going to wrap it up. Motown Rage again. Thank you guys for coming
in.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
Oh, surprised us. Dude. Good time.
Good interview. Times. Good shit. So we'll see you guys again on the 5th. So for myself, I still have makeup on my face. Big baby pee.
Yeah.
El Magnano.
It's not me. It's just my straw man, in effect.
The lovely Miss Danny Catastrophe.
April in the D.
Check it
bitches.
Out.
We're going to take you out to I Like Them Hoes by Motown Rage.
Yes.
Only on the Olin Ezra Show, Detroit's Underground Talk Revolution.
Ow!
Girls, what's up? How you doing? Tell you about me, I'm all about screwing. Not just sex, but it's cool if I get it. Take your Visa and jack your credit. I'll admit I'm a porno addict. Watch a couple flicks, then I go like a rabbit. Not romantic, spooning and hugging. Telling your hoes how much I'm in love when I'm not your husband. Fuck your feelings. Don't buy flowers or chemical peelings. High price demons, no piss drive through. Just cause we fuck don't mean I like you. Might invite you back to the crib. And all night long, you gon' get hit. So if you can get with a dog like me, let's check. I think tomorrow's free. When they take it from their ass to mouth. When they got the fat bank account,
I like it hard.
Dressed like hookers cause they got no class,
I like it hard.
Who give it up with no questions asked? I'm like a chick work at the strip or Section 8 chick with a bridge car. Buy me groceries first of the month, feed me and not them badass runs. I like them ones, wanna fuck all day, let me do me and they don't complain. Drop me insane, blowing up my phone with the where you at. Hell, bitch, I'm grown and yes, that don't better be straight vicious. Tell me how it tastes delicious. Yeah, I work that gag reflex, work out that jaw, that back, that neck. You can handle that, you can handle this. Maybe throw your homegirl up in the mix, we can flip the script. You can get that done, then bitch, you might be the one.
I like it hard
when they take it from their ass to mouth.
I like it hard
when they got the fat bank account.
I like it hard
dressed like hookers cause they got no class.
I like it hard
who give it up with no questions asked. And swallow nut, and they don't get mad when it comes us. That's just because they know it's true. So you beat it up, so it's black and blue. What can you do? Bust one to the chin. Do a ball hit, then go at it again.
I like it hard
when they take it from their ass to mine.